Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for tonight and what you've done and how much you love us, that you are mindful of us, of all of us, Lord, and that you have us all on your mind and how much you love us. And God, we just pray for tonight that we would learn, that we would just be filled with your word, that we'd be more on fire for your word, to love others and to take this gospel out to others, Lord, to invite them to come to you. And the Spirit Christ come, Lord. So we come and we have come, Lord. So I just pray that we would all just be filled up in excitement for what's to come and all that you have for us tonight. So God, I just pray that you would be exalted, Lord, that I would get out of the way of your way and that we'd come to your word and just you would speak to us and teach us, Lord, your spirit, Lord. So I ask for you to teach us tonight and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So a Bible study that will be titled, Behold, All Things Have Become New. And that's out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we're coming out of chapter 6 of Genesis. And we talked about the Nephilim, the sons of God, who I believe are fallen angels. Nephilim means the fallen ones. Do I know for sure? I don't, but if I just let scripture interpret scripture, if we looked at Jude verse 6, how the angels left their estate and they came down. So we had some gnarly things in chapter 6 of what the wickedness of man and the sin that was full in the earth that was just abounding. And we looked at how there's some that say there could have been 130, 140 billion people on earth as the world was differently at that time. There wasn't how the world is now, right? As we have studied out and just think about all those people. And we looked at godly Noah, the faith of Noah, of what he did. And we just, you know, if we take in consideration what he did, the work that it took to build that ark, to paint it with pitch inside and outside. And just, you know, I was just marveling at just all the trips up and down those ladders in those rooms preparing the ark and how we looked at his faith. By faith, Noah, right, moved with godly fear. We looked at the different parts of his faith, that his faith was rooted and grounded in God's word, because God came to him and spoke to him and told him all these things and gave him the instructions. I think of Noah, he received the instructions of the ark, the blueprints from God, how to build it. And all he did was he just followed the instructions. So a good thing for us, we receive instructions that we just follow the instructions. The Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, the basic instructions before leaving earth. So in this life, it's pretty easy. It's easy, you know, because God gave us the instructions, but we kind of get in the way of those things, of our nature and our flesh. And so we come to chapter 7 and chapter 8 of Genesis, and with a Bible study entitled Behold, All Things Have Become New. And we're going to see some cool things. So let's open up as we consider these chapters, what's coming, because the Lord said to Noah, as we start chapter 7 of Genesis, he says, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. And so let's open up to Malachi chapter 3. We're going to have a lot of Bible reading tonight, so you guys have your Bibles open tonight, and let's see what God's word says, because we know this story. I believe a lot of us, we're familiar with the flood and what happened in the flood and then what God does, that he tells them to go out. And we're familiar with this, but, you know, to compare spiritual with spiritual, we've seen the flood, you know, we know what happens. We've read about it. We've grown up in children's ministry. We've heard these stories, but there is something coming yet in the future, and we will see that God fulfilled his word and his words came to being. He actually did all this. We have all the facts of the earth, and we could see the evidence not that we're looking for evidence, but we've seen that the whole world was covered with water. It was a universal flood. It wasn't just for that part of the earth. I mean, we had the floods were above the mountains as the mountains were formed from the depths of the earth burst forth and how the earth changed. But I think for us to consider, for what God's called us to do, the church, that we would consider what God says that's yet to come. And to stir us up in how we conduct ourselves in daily life and in how we are amongst unbelievers and family and friends and because this is a promise, and so we know from that God will fulfill his promises. So let's open up to Malachi. This is the last prophet before the New Testament. And so you imagine them, they have these words, the Pharisees and the priests and all that was handling the temple and all of the duties, and they have these words. And so a very interesting chapter 3 of Malachi. So we're going to be in chapter 3. We're going to read chapter 3 and 4. And so I'm going to read through it. You guys read with me, kind of hear what the Lord says through this, and then we'll expound on it. And it says in chapter 3 of Malachi, he says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me." John the Baptist, we've seen that. And this is also dual language, that this is also Jesus, right? He, the messenger that would come and establish the covenant. So we have it applied at that time when Jesus came, and it also, is even future. So we have, there's a lot in chapter 3 and 4 that's yet to come. So this is, he's going forward and back and forward and back as he's prophesying. And so consider this, "And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger," right, "of Jesus, of the covenant, in whom you delight. He says, 'Behold, he is coming,' says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I do not change." Okay. "Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, 'In what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me.' But you say, 'In what way have we robbed you?' His reply is, 'In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord, yet you say, 'What have we spoken against you?' You have said, 'It is useful to serve God.' It is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free." Now take note of verse 16 as we get into chapter 7 and 8 of Genesis. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. Think of Noah and his family. And the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Chapter 4, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. And so that stirs me up as we go out. I think of all the people, right? People that I love. As I've been studying out judgment, and I think about this, you open your eyes, you go out, you see wickedness. It's all around us. We see the perverse, the crooked and perverse generation that we're amongst, that we are to shine as lights in this crooked and perverse generation. And so that's our calling. And so, you know, that simple call to those to come, right? As God said to Noah, come into the ark. And this, if you read that, this implies that Jesus is in the ark, right? He says, come in here, right? He doesn't say, go into the ark. He says, come in here. And this might, you might think of Matthew 11:28, right? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. You think of Noah and the labor that he had building this ark. And then he comes into Jesus, into the ark, and finds rest, right? The ark is a picture of Jesus for us. And so Jesus is our ark, and we rest in him. So he is our Sabbath rest. And, you know, basic things, but it's good to hear again that we would take that and know that we are secure. We are going to see God shut the door of the ark and seal them in, right? And so that good news that we are sealed by the grace of God by faith, as Noah, right, saved by grace through faith, because he heard God's word and he believed God's word, and there was action that came from that life of Noah and what he did. And so as I read the words of Malachi, the prophet, and the what's to come in the future, we read through what Peter says to the church, and we went through chapter 3 of 2 Peter last week, And I hope this stirs you up to consider people that are perishing, right? We should have heart for those that are going to perish, because and it is a sad reality. So I'm stirred up, and it's heartbreaking to see just how people, they're just going about their day. I talked about the kids that I worked with, and they're just going in life and just living life. They don't believe in anything. There's nothing that they believe in. They're basically throwing their dice, and however it comes about in their life, that's just that's all great. And so unless we tell them the gospel that, hey man, you got to come to Jesus, right? We need to be coming. What happened in the last revival? They were telling people, come here. You know, we think of John chapter 1 and the gospel accounts. You had Andrew and Philip, right? Andrew is one of John the Baptist's disciples, and then he was he went and told his brother Simon, come and see that Jesus, right, is, and hear all about Jesus. And Philip goes to Nathanael and says, hey, come and see. So we should be telling people, man, you need to come and hear the gospel and to hear the good news and have that light and shine and renew their minds, to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. And so just the plea from here that I would, you know, that the Lord, the Holy Spirit would stir you up And because the time is short, because God says he's coming quickly. And if you really look at what that word quickly means, that, you know, we think quickly means like a short span of time, but really it implies that he's going to come suddenly, right? It's going to come out of nowhere. And all of a sudden it's just going to, you know, people are going to be, you know, where did that come from, right? And then, because he comes suddenly and quickly. So if I'm going to hear his word, am I going to believe it? If I'm going to believe it, am I going to do something about that? So chapter 6 was all about that. The title was, "What Are You Doing?" And, you know, how are we conducting ourselves amongst people that we know, right? And so we could just go on, watch football, do our thing. Okay, I'm secure and you know, just live life how we want to live it. But man, to have a heart for people, that revival would come, because you know, we need to tell people, come to Jesus, get in the ark. And you think of the grace of God. Let's continue to read in chapter 7. We went through verse 1. "Come into the ark," Jesus says to Noah, "and you shall take with you 7 each of every clean animal, a male." So right, you know, you grow up hearing, and you just think there was just 2 of each, a male and a female, that went into the ark. Here it says, "You shall take 7 each of every clean animal, a male and his female, 2 each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Also 7 each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth." So, two, if you take that into pairs, divided that by 2, you have 6, but you have this 1 extra. So God is preparing provision for sacrifice for the clean animals. And we have all the Levitical laws and what God sets up to approach God through sacrifice to the altar and you know, what God prepares, right? So God gives the instructions and Noah follows the instructions. "For after 7 more days," okay, so they're in the ark, and you know, we kind of touched this on the end of last week too, that verse 4 says in chapter 7, "For after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made." And Noah did. Okay, that's, you know, highlight that. That is, "And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him." Okay, what is God commanding you to do? Right, we have the instructions right here. And we will see in chapter 8, he's going to say, go, right? Go therefore. You can hear Jesus' his words echoed in Matthew 28:19, right? "Go therefore and make disciples." And so Noah follows the instructions. He did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters were on the earth. Okay, we had that 120 years would be man. He's 500 years old, and this is 120 years of building this ark and that witness of prophesying to people. Think of, you know, Noah and his sons, and we had Methuselah, and you know, we've talked about that, of how, you know, Enoch and these stories that they had, and how Enoch was not, and we have the prophecy, and we have people, and then there, Noah is a preacher, right? He is preaching to people and letting them know, hey, what are you doing? Why are you building this big, weird-looking, weird-shaped box that's covered in pitch when people are going to inquire, what are you doing? And he just goes up, pail after pail, painting this thing with the tar from the tar pits. You know, you think of, just get yourself in there and imagine what that looked like, and people, and imagine there was nobody else. So God gives them 7 days before the rains came and they're sealed in. Think of the grace of God. I believe that anybody could have came and knocked on that door and said, hey, I repent. What is, you know, let me in. God would have let them in, right? And so God, by his grace and his patience, he waited 7 days as a witness to the world, and then his promises came, and then the rains came, and the earth burst, the depths broke forth. You think of what the earth looked like, the aquifers of all the waters, you know, were burst forth, and the rains were dropped from heaven, and you know, you can get real deep into a lot of these books about what, you know, only one side of the moon has craters, you know, what that maybe looked at as the earth burst forth and left the craters on the moon, because the other side of the moon doesn't have those craters, and the moon doesn't spin. It just orbits around the Earth. And so just what an amazing, and I take note too of the ark. You think of this big ark, what Noah goes into, right? There's no rudder. You know, there's no captain's wheel, right? So Noah went in there with complete trust in God that he would protect his family, right? Imagine the faith to go in, and his wife and his kids, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives that would follow in. This is all by free will for Noah, for these guys to do this. And so we, as God invites us by the gospel, as we heard the gospel, and he says to come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, we come by faith, and we are putting all of our faith in Jesus, our ark, to protect and to get us through life's storms as the earth, you know, all the crazy upheavals of wars and rumors of wars, as we are seeing and hearing. We have Russia and Ukraine and all the rumors of war. They're all wanting to destroy Israel. Now we have the church dividing right before our very eyes and trying to convince us to turn on Israel and to destroy Israel and think that they are of no value. But, you know, I remind you, Jesus, the Messiah of Israel, we are grafted in to cause the Jews to repent by jealousy of what the Gentiles have received us. We're grafted in to the root and to the branch. We're the branches. And so we have all this stuff that's happening before our very eyes. Everybody's trying to give us their opinions of who to listen to. And I'm very vocal to say that we should not be, I think the time is past that we should be throwing away the books. And because it's easy to say, oh, you need to read Chuck Smith's books, right? And get this man's point of view, or any of our favorite people. Then they'll say, no, you need to read my guy. And they're, you know, bent on doctrine, and you need to listen to this guy, and this guy needs to listen to this guy. And we need to throw all that away and get back to the truth and what Jesus says, and develop our doctrine back on what God says, because because now with the internet and all the points of view, it's so, you know, we have everybody's opinions at our fingertips. And so, you know, don't be giving them Chuck Smith's books or all these books of all of what these guys did. We need to just get, hey, no, I don't care what your guy thinks. Let's get back to what does the word say and fellowship over what God's word says. And because it's all crazy. So here we are, right? We are in the ark, us as believers. If you've believed and received by faith, you kids, right? As you hear the gospel, you know, God knows our hearts. He searches our hearts and to know, right? To work out that salvation, as Philippians 2 said. And the time is getting late, and God says he's coming quickly. He's coming suddenly. And so we need to get out of the slumber that we're in and get back to be Jesus freaks again, and just tell people about Jesus, about, hey man, he says to come. You know, this earth is going to be a stubble, like Malachi the prophet said. And we could take them to Revelation, and we could take them to Peter and talk about the day of the Lord. These things are coming on the earth. Just as the flood came, as Noah's preaching, man, God said there's going to be a flood. And they're like, what's a flood, right? They're on the perfect Hawaiian oasis on all the earth. There's no oceans. There's rivers. We know there's rivers, the Bible says. And all this, how everything looked way different then. And then all of a sudden, right? Just burst forth. And now we have the evidence. We can go to Hawaii. We see these vast oceans. That's proof in itself that the earth was flooded, right? And then it tilted, right? Back now, then we'll see in the end of chapter 8, the seasons that we see. And so let's get back to where we were. So Noah with his sons, verse 7, chapter 7. His wife, his sons' wives, went into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds, and of everything that creeps on the earth. Two by two they went into the ark to Noah. You think that God, you know, God was behind this, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days, after that 7 days passed, that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. You know, we had that, you know, you looked at Malachi, you know, as he promises, if you obey me, you just had, you know, you see these little phrases and it just brings the word of God to your mind and remembrance. And there's no coincidence in God's word. And we have dates here. We have the 17th day of the second month. And you guys have everything at your fingertips to study this out. You know, Blue Letter Bible, right? Look at these words. There's no coincidence there. I believe that date, or was it the one that came out? But we could spend all day just looking at these dates and how that date was the same as when Jesus was crucified and risen from the dead. So much here, so many layers to these chapters to study out. And if you just read through the Bible once in your life, you know, we are missing so much of what God will teach us and then grow you in and to grow your faith. And so I encourage you guys, keep reading the Bible, right? Read it over and over. And if you've gone through the Bible 100 times, go through it another 100 times and put the books aside and just pick up God's word again. And I'm sure you guys are, but I think it's important to say, you know, just the importance of God's word in the times we live. And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons, and that with them entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. Right? One giant ball of water. It's incredible to think about. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life. All that was on dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. And so we had in Malachi 3:6 how he does not change. You look at Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he was the same then as he is now. And so as you know, you just look at that and you take that into your heart and just consider, right? Just how the grace of God, you know, to remember, and you really think of the mercy of God. You think of what the evil was on the earth, of what as we read, how only evil was in man's heart continually, and what the devices and the imaginations of man's heart to create things to destroy and to kill, and the mercy of God to put an end to that, and the mercy of God that will come in the future, yet future, to put an end to all death, right? To the promises that we have to look forward to, and these new bodies as he's preparing for us, and the mercy of God he will put that all to end, and how God says that he desires that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. And so our role, right, our calling as the church, guys, is to preach the gospel, right, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone, right, to all creatures, as he commands his disciples at the end of his gospels. And so let's get into chapter 8. And then God remembered. Noah. Okay. He didn't go, oh yeah, I forgot there was, you know, Noah and all those guys were on that ark and they're floating around on the earth. Now I got to go do something about it. No, he remembered. You look at Malachi at the end of chapter 3, as I took note of how he remembers those who fear the Lord and meditate on his name, right? He has them on his mind, right? Noah and his family. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the water subsided, right? As behold, right? Everything is destroyed, right? The death. You think of just the carcasses floating around in the earth. I mean, you think of where do we get our oil now from that, what's in the earth? And, you know, are we pumping up all these people all these years later? You know, it's kind of weird to think about. We have the thought of, you know, the dinosaurs are those fossil fuels as we know and what's in the earth. And it's a crazy thing to think about how many people there could have been. Because we know that chapter 6, there was a population explosion, right? There's just vast numbers of people at that time. And the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped. And the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. Then the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. I believe that's the month that is Resurrection Sunday, the 7th, because the beginning of the year is in October, and 7 months to the day would be when Jesus rose from the dead. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And then he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. And so we know that a raven, a crow, is an unclean animal. And that raven comes, goes out, searches out. I'm sure he lands on a carcass. He's a, you know, they're roadkill. And kind of you can kind of have those that will teach that this is like a picture of our old nature going out, and he rests on the dead flesh of what that picture is of the raven. Then we have the clean bird here in a couple verses, that the clean bird, the dove, which is a clean animal, you know, he is a picture of the new, right? The new of the new beginnings of, and then the dove, as we know, is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And then there's a lot of cool studies as you can study this out, and we'll have, I mean, there's guys that really dig deep into all the meanings of this. But for today, we are going to be stirred up on how, you know, behold, all things are made new, right? God's going to send Noah and his family out in a new beginning that he created. And we can relate to this as in us and our salvation, as God has created us a new creation. And he also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her, and drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days. Hey, you think of, you know, why 7 days? I think Noah, if we look at him and what he did and how he lived his life, man, he lived in 7 day cycles, right? And he waits a whole 7 days, right? The order behind this and what God put into Noah as he walked with Noah, or as God walked with Noah in his life, and God spoke to Noah, and what God would have imparted to Noah in how to live his life as he gives the law. And the law enters in through Moses. And I always think it's fun to think of Moses as he's writing this, and how he's, you know, just what he's thinking about as he's inspired by God to write this, or as God's telling him to write this. And just, you know, because that's thousands of years later before all this happened. And so kind of neat that, you know, he is able to read this and have and believe the same thing we get to believe today, all these years later. and have the same kind of reaction, just how, you know, what, how he knows the earth. Moses would, he would be thinking, wow, this must have looked a lot different then. And kind of interesting to think about. But the dove, and he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. Right? Seven, right? We know that the number seven is a number of completeness. And, you know, as I built my family, we came to seven, and seven in the family, and I know, hey, God was like, you're done. This is complete, right? Five kids, the number of grace. And by grace that we had five kids, and our family's complete. And so God, so he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. Or did I skip a verse? Behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth, the dove. And Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth, and he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return to him again anymore. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month of the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, right? Go therefore. Here he's in the ark. He's with God. And, you know, he hears God. And God says, go out of the ark. What are they going to do from going out of the ark? Go therefore, go you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth, be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird and whatever creeps on the earth, according to their families, went out of the ark. And so Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird, and he offered a burnt offering on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake by flood. Although the imagination of man's heart, right, we still have the same on earth. Although, right, the grace of God, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. And we know year after year we get winter, right? This is, you know, this is where this all comes from. And so we know it's winter now. Will global warming come in and wipe out winter? No, because God's promise, he makes that covenant. We know that there's nothing we can do to change what God has in his promise. And we know what's coming and what the evil in man's hearts and his imaginations We know that man is evil, and we see it all around us. And so Ephesians 5:1, as we see a sweet-smelling aroma, I want to read that verse, and then we will have, and we're going to worship, right? Because as Noah went off of the ark, and he worships God, the offering of praise and worship to the Lord, as he's delivered them and makes all things new, and they go out. And he says, therefore, us, the church, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us in offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And so, you know, man, Jesus, right? Jesus who, the cross, right? The love of the cross, that God would go to the cross and offer himself, right, for the payment of our sins, although we are yet evil and our imaginations of our heart from our youth are evil, that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? Behold, I make all things new, brand new. And in our life, as we put off the old and put on the new, And so let's finish this off with Revelation as an exhortation for us, the very, very last verses of the Bible. As we looked at the very last pages of the Old Testament, we will see what we're to do. And I already touched on it, but as our eyes can see it on the very end of chapter 22, as chapter 21, right, the New Jerusalem, all the new things that God promises of what's yet to come, we can look at Revelation 19, the promises of us coming back and the rapture. The rapture is going to come and snatch us away, as that's what we're waiting for. And until then, Jesus testifies to the church and he says, "Behold, I am coming quickly," right? Suddenly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Hey, right, think of Noah, right? He was faithful to do he followed the instructions, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Hey, that's all around us. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come," right? Say, you know, to your friend, right? Come, hear the word of God. Hear what the gospel says, that if you'd believe in what, and what is the command that we have? What is the one thing that we can do? What is the one command that God gives us to obey, right? That's to believe on him whom he sent, right? That's the one thing, right? That is, you want to do the works of God, believe on him whom he sent, right? Those are his commandments. And that is for all to enter into heaven and to have this new life that's going to come, is we must believe, right? Is there a step ladder to go down to receive? The Bible says, Acts 16, you think of the jailer, what does he say? Does he say, repent and do this and do that and then believe? He simply says, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. And so there's one step, is to believe, right? The act of faith to believe in Jesus. It's not and. It's one thing, to believe in Jesus. It's that simple. And that's what can frustrate us. As believers, we can be frustrated because, well, there must be more, right? That you have to add things, and there's nothing we can add but to simply believe in Jesus, right? What he did on the cross, right? And repentance is a change of heart, a change of mind to recognize. In order to believe, you would need to recognize that you need to be saved. And it's simply that believe and repent is one thing. And it's not turn from all your sins and stop sinning and then you will be saved, right? It's, you don't take a shower before, you know, getting clean. You simply are made clean by simply believing in Jesus. So he says, we'll end with the last two verses. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." So we are going to come and offer worship as we end tonight. And we have a few extra songs on the other side of our lyrics. And so let's offer Jesus your worship, right? Because that is all you had to do, was to believe in Jesus to be saved. And so that's why we praise and worship God, because there's not extra things to do. It's simply to believe. Those are the works that we can do. And so I hope you guys take that and you go out and you tell others to come, right? Hear what Jesus says and be saved. So, Father, thank you for tonight. And thank you for the promises you have for us, Lord. And God, we pray for all those that we're praying for on our prayer cards that aren't saved, Lord, that you would reach their heart, that you would prepare their hearts to receive you and to be saved, so they can not endure what's coming in the tribulation and the know what's to come, Lord. And so thank you. And we pray, come, Lord Jesus, quickly. In Jesus' name, amen.